King of our heart, our Lord, our God, the Lord who sits in the throne of our hearts. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are calling every one of us today, that you will lead us to the higher ground today, and you will bless us to grow, to conform to the image of God today. And you have purposed something for all of us to receive today. And you have purposed something that for all of us to lose today. And you have, O Lord, desired something in your heart that we will all gain something and lose something, whatever it takes, O Lord, for all of us to be perfected, to be like Christ, the Anointed, the Son of God, the Wonderful Counselor, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who received an excellent name, the one who received an excellent ministry. Amen. Of reconciliation, redemption, salvation, the only Savior. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for calling all of us Gentiles to receive the salvation, to receive the truth. And above all, O Lord, you call all of us to be the bride of Jesus Christ. And Lord, now you are looking unto all our hearts. Are we preparing ourselves? Are we decorating ourselves as a bride of Christ to be prepared for your marriage? Help us, Lord, today that we continue to submit to your will, that we continue to yield our bodies to the body of Christ. We continue to yield our minds to the mind of Christ. We continue to yield our spirits to the Spirit of Christ. And Lord, by doing so, that we remain as the children of God, and we call you our Father in heaven. Help us, Lord. You have given the only name, the only salvation, the only life, the only truth, the only way. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, the begotten, the first and only begotten. Have mercy upon us today, O Lord. We are not worthy to receive thy word. We are not worthy to speak of your name. But Lord, you are worthy and we are weak. You are strong and we are weak. You are holy and you call all of us to be holy. Help us, Lord, that we live a life that is worthy of the calling, and we enter into the marvelous light. But there is only one light, the light of my Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom. We thank the Lord for a beautiful testimony from Sister Johanna. I'm so glad because the Bible says the man and woman, after the marriage, they shall be one flesh. But in order for them to be in one spirit, the Lord needs to come in between and to bring them again as a beautiful married couple in Christ. Then they can say, we are in one spirit. That is the distance between the bride and the groom. We are still in the flesh, but the Lord wants us to be one in spirit, and we are marching forward, and we are losing the flesh, we are crucifying the flesh, and we are marching forward, we press on, and the day shall come in the marriage of the Lamb by the power of Holy Ghost, the new covenant, and the new wine the Lord has put in every one of us. We shall be one spirit in him. And we shall be one body in him, because he will give us a glorious body, because he received it first, glorified Jesus Christ. Amen. My heart is filled with joy when I heard her husband is baptized. Although it is not the end of it, it is just a beginning, but it is a beautiful, beautiful testimony, for we are all precious children in the sight of God. We thank the Lord. Let us turn our scriptures as we begin the sermon today. It's also very similar to what our sister testified. That's why I'm so happy. We are in one spirit. Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
chapter 2, verse 23. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." For she was inside. Verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh," not one spirit, one flesh, because they begin their life with philia, not in agape. Verse 25, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Not the nakedness of the physical body, but something that is as pure as a newborn child. When that child was born, whether the child is a male or a female, nobody would say that child was naked. Because that is the purest form of nature. None of the animals look naked to our sight, because they are precious, beautiful, how the Lord made them. But we people, nothing but sinners, disobedient people, insincere people, selfish people, and the Lord threw all of us out, along with the seed of Eve and the seed of Adam, which was mixed with the seed of the serpent. "My mother conceived me in sin, for all have sinned. We all fall short of the glory of the Lord. And Jesus Christ has a name. He is the glory of the Lord. How can I receive him if I am short of him? How the bride can receive the groom if the bride does not deserve to receive the groom?" And the Lord says, "Be perfect, be holy, because I am the one who is molding you, I am the one who is guiding you, I am the one who is perfecting you." And we submit to him. And we yield our bodies to him. We yield our minds to him. We yield our soul, spirit, all of it to him in love. Now Adam says, "Bone of my bones," because we know how Eve was made out of the bone of Adam. In the last prayer gathering, by God's grace, we meditated on the death of Joshua. And before he died, he spoke beautiful words. And after he died, the bones of Joseph was also buried as per the command, not a request, a command from Joseph in Genesis 50. Before he died, he said, "Carry my bones." After more than 500 years, what he said was fulfilled. But more than 430 years, people of Israel, they were in captivity, isn't it? Then who was keeping his bones? Who was watching over his bones, that these bones are, you know, intact, properly secured? What is this bone represent? Why Adam said, "This is the bone of my bones. Part of my word." He said, "I don't have the only bone which Eve took. She was one of my bone." And we are all sitting today in the seats of the congregation of the Lord, taking each a portion, a piece of the bread, a portion of his faith, a measure the Lord has measured in his righteousness and gave to all of us, that we receive grace. And we are called the parts of the word. And the Bible says we are purified, refined like silver 7 times. Now Adam said, "Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh," because Adam has only one flesh. The bones mentioned as a plural because he has many bones. But the flesh is mentioned as one flesh. My body is singular. I can't have two bodies. Because my body is a signature of my soul encrypted in my spirit. Soul, spirit, body. One soul, one spirit, one body. But I have multiple bones. I can have fractured bone on my left side, but my right side still intact. I can do my work. Parts of the word. Foundations of the apostolic faith. The foundation may be destroyed because apostles can be killed, can be destroyed because they are in flesh. But the foundation, underneath the foundation, the pillars, that foundation is for sure. Adam is called the first Adam, because the last Adam is the one who fulfilled everything. The first Adam played the part of being a living soul, bring forth the generation in flesh. But the last Adam fulfilled the purpose of putting the spirit in that vessel, in the tabernacle. Now in that being, there are two flesh, my dear family of God. One, the flesh that you are in. Two, the flesh the Lord made you when you were created. The flesh of Adam was not the same before and after he committed the sin, which is disobedience. It's not the same because death entered. Before he was a living soul. After that he was a dying body. A living soul, a dying body. Flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones. By the grace of God, today this verse shall be the foundation for the sermon. But again, all will be reflected from the mirror of Daniel, the man of God. Because we are learning from him, centering around him, revolving around him. Because there is much to learn from this man of God. Now let's remember Genesis 2, 23, 24. And now let's turn our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 17. Before going to Daniel, we have to establish the boundaries. Remember, whenever the Lord gives the parable, message, truth, sermon, whatever the Lord wants to give as an inspiration, it is very similar to how God takes Moses to the top of the mountain of Nebo, and he tells Moses, this is the territory of Israel. After the Lord draw the map of borders of Israel, in between, people can walk, they can sing, they can praise, they can move around because that is becomes the pasture of the Lord, like a good shepherd. So, for every congregation, every family, we are bride of Christ, will be united, assembled. But the Lord has put boundaries in the word of God. And within the word of God, we roam here and there. Not as wanderers, but as sojourners by the leading of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the Bible verses, inspiration, everything has to go in accordance with the Spirit of God. Not by our own mind. So, from Genesis, Adam, Eve, now we come to book of Ezekiel, chapter 11, verse 17. Thousands of years between, isn't it? Now let's hear from the watchman. Verse 17, he says, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from people, and assemble you out of the countries that ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. The Lord has already given the land of Israel to Abraham, which was fulfilled by Moses, Joshua. Then again people lost it. The land of Israel was lost. They were thrown into 70 years of captivity in Babylon. That is where we are today, along with Daniel. And Ezekiel says, you are scattered from different nations. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Given, lost, given, lost. And the Lord says, I will bring you back. But by the time he brings them back, they are not the same generation who left. They died. It was the next generation. Or few generations later. What was the flesh that was lost in between this delay to the eyes? Grace to God. Now Ezekiel 11:17 starts with the prophecy of God, thus saith the Lord. Verse 18 says, they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence, because they lost the land. It was filled with abominations by those who ruled the land. And the Lord says, it is your responsibility. You lost what I gave. Now someone inherited and someone filled. Now go and clean it. There must be a cleansing process. And the Lord says, you shall do it. Nehemiah had to clean the inner chamber. If not, there is no Nehemiah. There is no wall of Jerusalem. The Lord would destroy everything. Cleanse the inner chamber. Now the Lord says, cleanse the city. And verse 20:19 says, if you do that, and I will give them one heart, I will put a new spirit within you. So was there a old spirit? What is new spirit? And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart our flesh. There are two flesh mentioned in the scripture. In the same verse, you see two flesh. That is the closest example of the two life that we live on this earth. One, the life that we live to die, that is death. I'm aging. Every single day, I'm aging. You are all aging. You are getting older. That is also life, which the whole world is chasing after. Want to be rich. Want to live as long as I can. Want to be healthy. Want to be beauty. Want to look so young. I don't want to look old. I don't want to look old. Everybody is very particular about the physical appearances because of the life on earth. But the Bible says that is not a life, that is death. No matter whatever you do, you cannot stop facing the one day you are getting older today. I can't resist me getting older. The time will come and say, you can't stop me. If there is one thing that we can tell ourselves to keep ourselves on the ground, tell yourself, you can't stop time that is facing you every single second. I'm getting older every second. You can't stop it. And people have this different companies, they promote themselves calling this what do you call? De-aging process. How come? They reverse the time? No, they just put some makeup like Jezebel and make look like in plastic surgery. Whatever it takes to abuse, profane the creation of God, who is the beautiful creator, not the men. Now, the Bible says, I will take the heart of your flesh and I will give you heart of flesh. There are two flesh. So, one of the flesh must be life, one of the flesh must be death. What is this flesh? Prophet Samuel speaks to King Saul. He was not a king. He is going to be king. And the Bible says, Samuel spoke to Saul. Saul returned and the Lord gave him a new heart. So there are two flesh. One, the flesh of Saul was lost and he turned the flesh that is pure, like unleavened bread, like a manna, plain water, like the fresh spring that flows from the Creator, a heart of flesh, which is God's beautiful creation, tender, sweet, sensitive, gentle, peace, humble, not boasting, not provoking, but receiving, yielding, which is God's creation. And the Lord gave a new heart as an opportunity. Now, here, Ezekiel says, I will give a new heart, the Lord says, to the ones who do what I said. Not before. After you did. And what is this heart of flesh? We have to find a vessel who has an answer for it. He says in verse 20, the reason why the Lord gives them a heart of flesh is that they may walk in my statutes, not the royal statute of Belshazzar or Darius, but the statutes of God Almighty. And he says, keep my ordinances and do them. Not the physical way of following law, which is religious. God of Abraham is not a military officer. He's a father in heaven. The camp of God, the congregation of God, is not a company or a military camp, but is full of life with rivers flows of the Lord's love and mercy. And most importantly, grace. Now the Lord looks at the intents of his children and he says, if you do this, you shall be my people, I will be your God. He says, you do this, I'll be your God. He's not expecting any selfish desires, but he says there is no other choice. Because he's a righteous father in heaven. He's not a partial father in heaven. He's righteous. He can't do anything other than being righteous. Look at the last verse. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord. 17 starts by saying, saith the Lord. 21 ends by saying, saith the Lord. Now, I just want to stop here and just to give you a warning about all that happens in the world today. Every time we read the scripture, we read as a normal brethren, reading something written many years ago. Someone spoke, someone wrote, we are reading. When the prayer is going on, when the sermon is going on, when we read some scriptures, we just take it with some normal, receptive ears. But if someone suddenly says everything said and said, "Thus saith the Lord," we jump from the seat and we become more excited. Why? Why? Think why. How come if I say the Lord says, this, we listen. But if I don't say the Lord says, I said every the same word, then I end by saying, "Thus saith the Lord," then we say, hey, take notes. How come this curiosity came into the bride of Christ? How come the world is confounded by that heart of stone, looking for something which is exactly there in the scripture, written, spoken, uttered by the vessels of God? Most of the time, we don't take it seriously. But if I tell the same words, thus saith the Lord, pointing a finger at you, then we become activated. Come alive. Do you really think that that excitement will stay with you forever? I'm telling you, not even a day. It is as good as I stand near a fridge. Feels like I'm in Switzerland. The moment I leave the fridge, I'm gone. I'm back to the normal temperature. That is external influences. Like a fever. The fever will not enter into heaven. You will enter into heaven. There are so much influences clinging onto the mind and heart of the people of God. And the Lord says, detestable thing, abomination. Why? How come the reverence, honor, fear of God for the same scripture is lost? But when a vessel of God speaks the same scripture and says, "Thus saith the Lord," the whole congregation filled with mighty anointing. I'm telling you, nay. It's a lie. Heart of stone, heart of flesh. When our heart is filled with the anointing of God, Spirit of God, we remain as the heart of flesh because you're still in flesh. When we die, when the Lord blesses us to go and enter into the blessed rest, the Bible says He will give you a glorious body, a celestial one, isn't it? But that body will not be based on your A plus, B plus, whatever the blood group, it will be alive by the flow of the Spirit that runs in our body. Because He has already shed every drop of blood on earth to wash you and me. He has done a washing and communion, not just the feet, from head to toe, by washing the entire earth by His blood. One drop of the blood of Christ is sufficient to wash the entire generation, past, present, future. But yet He gave everything because He cannot hold His love. He did not know how to hold His love. Do you hear me? The Lord knows only to love you all. He can't love you 10%. He don't know how to do it. Either He loves you all or He don't love you. The love of Christ was same for Peter and Judas. It was same for Paul and Judas. It was same for James and Judas. There was no partiality in His love. Why? He can't do something that is not Himself. He gave all. Now the bride of Christ is looking at Him. If my groom is like that, am I like Him? Do I have the heart of my Christ? Do I have the mind of my Christ? So what is in between? Stone and flesh. Because stone, I throw a ball, comes back to me. And Jesus said, you say shalom, the ball of promise. If the heart is heart of flesh, of mind, the shalom will rest on the house. If not, it will rebound back to me. Why? The word of God will not fail. It comes back to Him. When the Bible says, you are from dust, you will go back to dust. What is the deeper revelation here? The Lord says, dust will return to dust. Spirit will return to spirit. Because He is the Father of all spirits. There is no spirit that is made of by Himself. Because there is no other spirit other than the Spirit of God. The Lord will reconcile. He will redeem. He will take back every spirit that went from Him. But all the spirit that embrace carnality, embrace wickedness, will be destroyed. Not the spirit, the wickedness. Because spirit is the very existence of life. Life cannot be destroyed. If life can be destroyed, then it is not life anymore. It is death. Death can be destroyed. So So who are you and me? A child of death, born of a woman, living to die, isn't it? The moment we are born to die. That is who we are. But the Lord says, don't worry, I can put an end. I can make an atonement. I can bring you back to the life, which is He Himself. So heart of stone, heart of flesh, keep it in your heart. Now let's go deeper, because Ezekiel is speaking in 11. So as the days go by, he will be speaking more and more deeper. So let's go to 36. Chapter 36, verse. So before we continue, let me write the first thing. Heart of stone or flesh. Now let's come back to 36 verse 26. Read from 25 so that we understand what does it mean by sprinkling. Verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. In the last days, the Lord will pour out the Spirit upon all flesh, and the children of God will manifest the fruit of the Spirit. That is exactly what Ezekiel says. The Lord will sprinkle the water, that is the type and shadow of Spirit, because in the beginning, the Spirit of God was hovering upon waters. Amen? This cleansing process will result in verse 26. It says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. First step, new heart. Second step, new spirit. So new heart, imagine it's a shepherd's bag, that will receive a new spirit, which is the stone inside, the life inside, the blood that goes inside. Now, I will take away thy stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. You talk about heart transplant surgery, please come back to Ezekiel 36:26. The greatest heart transplant surgery that has ever been done by the divine creator in spirit. He says, I will take your heart away and I will give you a new heart. The very first doctor who performed it. Great physician. He is not a great physician of my fever, cough, cold. But he is a great physician of the body of Christ. Spiritual sicknesses. Spiritual pain. Spiritual wounds. That is more dangerous than the physical pain, physical sickness. Because we can't enter into heaven. Now the Lord says, I will take it out. I will throw the stone out. And I will put a new spirit in you. Now remember this as tabernacle, and the Shekinah glory descends into tabernacle. The tabernacle, the house, and the person who enters the tabernacle, the Son of God, Spirit of Christ, God was manifest in flesh, justified in spirit. Now look at the next verse. I will give you an heart of flesh. Verse 27, I will put my spirit within you, not outside you. I will not put my spirit with someone and I will tell you to follow the someone as your idol. Nay, I will put my spirit within you, not outside. And he says, because of that, cause you to walk in my statutes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What was spoken in chapter 11, Ezekiel, is answered in 36. The Lord says, you can't walk. But my spirit will push you to walk, will lead you to walk, will not force you to walk, but will inspire to walk. You know what is inspiration? The Lord says, consider. What a word from God Almighty. Consider. It means you choose, you want me, I want something else. You choose. Consider. Free will or God's will. Consider. That tells all of us the Lord would never ever force his children. He would never ever accept any sacrifice that was done by compelling attitude of flesh. Nay, not a chance. It has to be the free will. It has to be a cheerful, willing heart that submits to God's will. Now he says, verse, you will keep my judgments, not just that, you will do them because of the spirit that is in you. But for that, you need the heart of flesh first. Verse 28. Because of that, you will dwell in the land that I gave it to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, I will be your God. This is the answer why the Lord threw them out. Because God tells Abraham, you will inherit it. God tells Joshua, you will inherit it. He did not say, the generations after they come, they can't inherit this because you are their forefather. The Lord says, every generation, every man, every woman, live a life to be worthy of his calling. Take up thy cross, deny thyself, follow me and show me that you love me. And the Lord says, I will deal with everyone one by one. Because he said, I will take your heart, I will put my spirit within you, one by one. Because he is righteous, one to one, is God's relationship. Amen. Now, he says, verse 29, I will also save you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is not a famine of your financial problems or the corn of your physical food. To the Lord, corn represents harvest. Harvest represents ministry of redemption. Redemption represents salvation of souls. Souls represents vineyard. And the Lord says, be grounded, be rooted in the vineyard where I have planted thee. A plant cannot move from the vineyard. It is rooted in the vineyard. It has some legs. It becomes a frog or some insect. Runs here and there. Not the plant. Plant cannot move, isn't it? Steadfast, immovable. Vineyard is God's territory. What Book of Timothy says? He that provided not his very own house, he is worse than infidel. What is house? This is your house. This is your family. Everyone sitting left and right, your family, your brother, your sister, the one who died for them is a sin. Now, Ezekiel says, the increase of the field, that is the fruitfulness of the ministry, the bride of Christ, the Samaritan woman. Verse 30 says, I will multiply the fruit of the tree. You said this to Adam, Lord. You said the same to Adam. Be fruitful and multiply. Now he says, the fruit of the tree, which is the tree of life. The trees of righteousness sown in peace. Amen. In peace, God has sown you and you grow to be the trees of righteousness of him. And the righteousness belongs to him. And he says, ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. What is famine? The lack of the pure word of God. Who is Joseph? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What he was holding? Everlasting, never drying fountain. In the time of Egypt, Joseph was storing food to give to people in famine. In this time, 7th age, again, the food is still with him. The one who holds the manna is the one who is seated in the right hand of the Father. He must pour out the Spirit, the manna to all of us that we should eat. He is still holding it. And we are in grace. We should receive the food from him, or else you will die because of knowledge. Brother, spelling mistake, famine. You will die because of knowledge. Ecclesiastes, turn your Bible. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 1, verse 18. Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 18. For in much wisdom is much grief. What? Solomon. What happened to you, Solomon? In much wisdom is much grief. He that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Wow. What? So when God tells Solomon, you are the great king of Israel who is wiser than anyone, was he mocking him? Because Solomon said, so much wisdom, so much grief. So much knowledge, so much sorrow. And they that err in faith, pierce themselves with so many sorrows. Both are same. How come Apostle Paul and Solomon speak like the same? Because there is only one spirit. Same spirit, same leading, one leading. And Solomon says, there are two wisdom. There are two knowledge. Exactly what Ezekiel said, there are two flesh. One, the flesh of thine, yours, and the one, the flesh the Creator made. One, the wisdom of thine, yours, and one, the wisdom belonged to him. He hath a name. He is the wisdom. And what is the knowledge of understanding who he is? The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Then when these two get married, then brings forth a child called wisdom. That type Solomon. Because Solomon is child of wisdom. Samuel is child of prophecy. Daniel is a child of interpretation and discernment. Moses, a child of leadership. Isn't it? Joshua, a conqueror. Abraham, a man of faith. They all have different flavors of Christ. The life of Christ. Christ means anointing. The Spirit of God resting upon them. Nehemiah builds and makes. And God is a builder and maker of mansions. Everyone just came with different flavors of God. To tell all of us who is He, the one who made you. So Ecclesiastes says, wisdom can kill you, knowledge can kill you, because there are two. The thin line is measured by the one who stands on the wall with a plumb line in his hand, isn't it? That is one who stands in the wall with a plumb line. The Lord Himself. Now let's go back to Ezekiel. We are at verse 20. Chapter 36. We will read from verse 31. Ye shall remember your own ways, that is evil ways, and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Verse 32 is a story of our life. Not for your sakes I do this. Not for your sakes I do this. Saith the Lord God, be it known unto you, and be ashamed and be confounded of your own ways, O house of Israel. Because the heart of flesh can lead you to receive the last verse. But the heart of the flesh of God, the Lord has made us in that flesh, His beautiful creation in His mighty hands, that will lead us to receive the promises, the verse before. Now there is a thin line, the wisdom that Solomon said, the knowledge that Solomon said, and the heart that Ezekiel said. Because there are two flesh, two wisdom, two knowledge. Keep it in your heart. Now let us go to Daniel. The reason why book of Ezekiel is mentioned before book of Daniel, not because Ezekiel began the ministry first, is because Daniel's ministry lasted longer than Ezekiel. The active period of Ezekiel ends much before Daniel winds down his ministry. But they are two different ministries, not the same. God has no business in doing the same work twice. He is righteous. He is a creator. He do it once. Now, Daniel 12 verse 10. We go straight to the last chapter to take one verse from there so that we come back. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. One verse from last chapter, we will take that one verse. It is spoken to him through the vessel of God by the inspiration of God's Spirit. It was not spoken by Daniel. Daniel says, can I get the full revelation? And the vessel of God says, nay. For you, what was given, I won't tell you more. So the Lord make Daniel to be content, not to be so greedy, and the chapter is over. Because Daniel wants to know more, the Lord says, cap. You know, your time is over. Your vessel is full. Nothing more. Then the Lord gives an answer to him through the vessel, his messenger. Many shall be purified. Word number one, purified. And he says, the next verse is, wisdom will receive understanding. Amen. Now remember this. Now, last Sunday, we left Daniel in the lion's den. So let's go and bring him out. Because remember, when Daniel was speaking to King Belshazzar and King Darius, he was not out of the lion's den. Do you know that? He was speaking from the lion's den. Chapter 6. Let's go and continue from the lion's den. Chapter 6, verse 22, Daniel is speaking. This is where we ended last Sunday's sermon. Daniel says, my God had sent me, his angel. And that angel has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. You talk about wisdom, learn from Daniel. One single verse, look at the words he uttered. Number one, my God. Number two, sent an angel. Number three, lion's mouth shut. Number four, no hurt, no wound, no pain, no weariness. Number five, innocency was found because the Lord proved him right. Number six, he honors the king the Lord set over him. And that king is not a believer. Is not a king of Judah. Not king of Israel. But king of something else. Median, Persian culture. Like Babylonian culture. Daniel do not have such partiality. He respected King Nebuchadnezzar. He respected Belshazzar. He respected Darius. Because Daniel believes, my life is all the time under my God's control. He knows what to allow. He knows what I can bear. And he knows what I should go through. He submits in joy and peace. Not compulsion. Not weariness. Because Daniel must be confident. If there is no confidence, my brethren, you will have no discernment. Remember this. Apostles were always led by God's discernment because they were confident. But yet, even after the Holy Ghost was given, when the 11 apostles lost their confidence that Apostle Paul will be killed in Jerusalem, they lost their discernment and they told Apostle Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Remember, this happened to apostles who were preaching gospel, who were baptizing people, who received the Holy Ghost. They lost the discernment of spirit the moment the confidence was gone, thinking that Paul will suffer and die. And the Lord taught a lesson by keeping Paul in his discernment. And Paul was standing like Daniel, understand what needs to be done, and he pressed on. And the Bible says, they could not persuade him. What is persuading? Delia persuaded Samson to lose his strength. That is persuasion, which is seduction by philia. The word persuasion would not come in the scripture as God's word, because God has no need to persuade you. He will make you to understand. Then you will follow him. Apostles, they didn't understand what they're doing because they loved him so much. They were shaken by the love. And the Lord says, this love, it is not philia. It is not agape. It is your philia you misunderstand as agape. Then Paul went, what the Bible says, all the apostles followed him. Discernment. Power of discernment will keep the work of God going forward. Now, Daniel has to press on. Although people call him magicians, chief of magicians, there are so many gods in you, Daniel was not troubled. Why? He has to move like a serpent in righteousness, in truth, in love, in holiness, in divine, not to prove him right to the people around him, but to keep his eyes set on the brazen serpent. For you and me, the Lord died on the cross, all our iniquities placed upon him. He is focusing on the fulfillment of God's purpose. He was moving, whatever it takes to stay alive. Because Daniel must stay alive. Now Daniel speaks, O king, I have not done any hurt to anyone, not to you. He respects, he didn't curse the king. And when the king saw this, he see the taste of the love of God. Because all the kings who loved Daniel, they didn't love him because of his skills alone. He was a man of attitude. He was a man of behavior. He was a man of wisdom. He behaved wisely in the house. They see he's different than anyone else. And they had love for him. Look at how Darius reacted. Darius says the king exceedingly glad for him. He did not feel bad that he escaped from the lion's den. He was waiting for it. He could be even praying to his very own gods who won't listen to him. But Darius did not want Daniel to die. He was very glad, exceedingly glad. And God tells Abraham, I am your exceedingly great reward. And Darius says, I'm exceedingly glad for you, man. In a moment, you look very closely, Darius was created by God. Daniel was created by God. What is between them? Some ignorance, some lack of understanding. That doesn't take anything away from God's work in your life. I've learned so many painful experiences in my life. The Lord can bless you with many people who don't even know Him yet. That doesn't make any difference that we are so special than them. Or those brethren are the only way for you to find a way. You will be fooled, proven wrong by God. Because everything that breathes, made by Him. Everything. Even an evil king can become an apostle tomorrow. Even the mighty king of Israel can become a Gentile king tomorrow. It is possible. Now the Lord speaks to Daniel, to the king Darius. When Darius says, exceedingly glad, he commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you all to visualize in your creativity because God has made you. Which means Darius looking down in the den, opening the stone, because it had a signet of his seal. He has to come and open it. He opened it and Daniel is speaking to him. And when he says, the angel of the Lord shut all the mouth, he meant it. So when Daniel speaks, all the lions have to be silent. And Joshua tells, before the walls of Jericho were destroyed, he tells all the people, oh ye people of God, oh ye all flesh on earth, be silent. Why? Joshua says, the Lord is going to tell me in still small voice, shout. I need to hear Him, so you be silent. When he said, those who obeyed him, they were silent, isn't it? Because in that silence, book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 15 must be fulfilled. In silence, you will find strength. In quietness, you will receive the wisdom of God. But the verse ends by saying, ye would not. Because your flesh would not let you to receive the blessed quietness. Now, Daniel says, every beast is silent and he speaks. Darius listens to him very clearly because there is no interference, no noise. Which means Daniel was speaking from the den, isn't it? After Daniel spoke everything, Darius says, he commanded them, take him out of the den, because he was inside. Out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want all of us to remember this as a bride of Christ. We are all on the earth, isn't it? The den of lions, wolves. They are not lions, they are wolves. You are sheep. And the Son of Man, who is seated in a heavenly throne, glorified King of Kings, he looks down on the bride. He says, you and me will meet up in the air. Amen? When the time comes, the bride will meet him up in the air. But until then, the bride must hold on to the peace of God, in the truth of God, led by the Spirit of God, encouraged by the message given to the bride by the messengers, isn't it? Daniel had a messenger. What's his name? Gabriel. Because he is the archangel who is anointed for message. He is the man that we can inspire ourselves. Message. He passed messages. He went to speak with Mary. He spoke with Daniel. He speaks. He passed the message. But Michael, man of actions. Fight battle of righteousness. Isn't it? They know their place. One fights the battle of righteousness. And one speaks the message of God. Spread the message. Now Daniel had encounter with both of them one way or other because Gabriel spoke about Michael to Daniel, isn't it? Now, we child of God, children of God, bride of Christ, the Lord wants all of us to prove Him that your testimony is complete in my life. Look at my body of Christ. No blame, no spots, no hurt, no wounds. Lord, I'm staying intact for you because the glorious body of Christ cannot be hurt. Can't be scratched by the physical one. It is celestial, isn't it? And the Bible says we must present ourselves to Him blameless, spotless. We should be clean to Him spiritually. And when He sees it, He will say, come up. Come up. Everything is type and shadow. And in order for us to gain that, the Lord says, do you have my discernment? People want gifts, but they don't want discernment. Because gifts are limelight. It gives you a stage, fan base. But discernment is very subtle, deep inside. But it tells you where God stands. What God likes and what God wants. That is the most powerful gift. Skill the bride must exercise. Because the Bible says, skill and understanding. It is skill. You have to practice over and over and over again. Every time you sing the song, I keep falling in love with him over and over again. We should sing in the meaning of it. We should practice the discernment of Christ over and over again. Then we will get it right someday. Amen. Now, Daniel spoke and the king commanded, come out. Come. When he come out, he was checked again. You see, after Daniel was taken out of the den, the no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God and he did what he said. That is what we ended last Sunday. Now, here also there is a flesh, isn't it? That's why I wanted to wait that we read all the other verses before. There is a flesh of focus of Daniel. They are checking his body if there is any wounds of the beast. So Daniel showcased he was standing in the high way of holiness. Book of Isaiah says, beast cannot enter therein. He proved it. Lord, I'm blameless. Book of Timothy talks about blameless. Book of Corinthians talks about blameless. The bread of Christ is clothed by the word, which means my clothing in the word of God must be not corrupted. My flesh, because I'm the body of Christ, clothed by the word bride. Now remember this, now we need to go to the next verse that talks about judgment. The king commanded, they brought those men, verse 24, which had accused Daniel, they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and their lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, wherever they come at the bottom of the den. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, do you hear the word bones? What are these bones? And what are those bones that Adam said? What are these bones? What is the bone what Jeremiah said? The word of the Lord is burning like a fire shut up in my bones. I could not stay. Which is, I could not be a man of flesh. I have to do what the Lord wants me to do. Not being so busy, but just be patient, kind, gentle, peaceful, with long suffering, to do what the Lord wants him to do. And Jeremiah says, I could not stay. And Joseph says, after I die, my flesh will decay, disappear in the land of Egypt, but my bones will never, ever decay or disappear. Take it and carry. The heavens and the earth will disappear, will perish, but the word of the Lord would never, ever perish. Then what is the bone represents? I remember in the book of Judges, when Gideon took the work of the Lord, it talks about strength, isn't it? Let's remember the verse, Judges chapter 15. Since we talk about the bones, let's also go and get a piece of bone from there. Judges chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 15. Judges 15, verse 15. Verse 15. He found a new jawbone of an ass in New King James, it is donkey, and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass, I have slain 1,000 men. It continues the story. It is not relevant to the sermon today. But remember this. A vessel of God find a fresh jawbone. Not the old, something ancient jawbone. A fresh jawbone. If the bone represents the word of God is housed in a shell. And Samson says, I found a fresh manna. Take it in my right hand. That ties the right hand of the Father in heaven. And I use the word of God to judge the enemies. And I kill 1,000. Book of Psalm, David says, 1,000 may fall at my right. 10,000 may fall at my left side. But I will stand firm. Because the word of God will do what is righteous and good in his sight. Why it has to be fresh jawbone? Why it can't be old jawbone? Because when Abraham climbed the mountain with Isaac, Isaac was in a fresh flesh because he was alive, isn't it? Do you remember Abraham and Isaac, they did not carry a ram with them. They only carried the wood. It was supposed to be Isaac. But after he went to the top of the mountain, the moment he you know, took his hands to kill his very own son, that is to offer him a sacrifice, the Lord said, stop. Until then, he didn't stop it. He said, stop. After he spoke the covenant, they found a ram, you know, caught stuck in some thicket, you know, in some bush. Fresh. That happened fresh. It was not past. It was not something premeditated. It was instant. Because the Lord is a provider, fresh. In that moment, he will guide you. In that very moment, he will give you the strength. In that very second, he will make you the way. He will show you the way. But until then, he will test you. Are you trusting something or trusting me? Fresh jawbone. Remember this. For all of us, jaw means what? The bone that helps me to speak the word of God, right? If my jawbone is, you know, dislocated, I can't speak, you know. I can have a tongue that is flesh, but without the help of my bone, I can't speak. My flesh will collapse without my bones, isn't it? My skin is nothing but a pack of, you know, like a water ball, will collapse without my bone. My bone is the one that helps me to stand straight, not the flesh. Jawbone. And the Lord says, speak my word. Speak of me like me. Don't speak of you like you. Jawbone. Now remember this, come back to the bones. Daniel 6:24. He says, break all their bones in pieces, or ever there came at the bottom of them. Whoever corrupted the word of God with their false doctrines, it is not the word of God, may look like a bone, may look like bones, may look like anointing, may look like righteous ministering. But the Lord says, even the Antichrist have adopted the same technique. How do we discern? Ye shall know them by their fruit. Daniel was thrown, came unharmed. Those who accused him were thrown, they did not come back. And the bones were broken. Can the foundation of God be broken? You see how beautiful scripture is. The Bible says foundations can be destroyed. Lord, what shall we do, Lord? That is representing to people of God. Apostles, Moses, Abraham, David, Solomon, you name it. They can be destroyed. But they are not the foundation. They are pillars. There is one foundation. That is the foundation of all. I am who I am. That foundation is for sure. Amen. After reading scripture over and over again, sometimes I'm very scared to say the word, I'm sure. It's not coming to my mouth. The word sure belongs to him, not to me, not to you. The scripture says, do not say you will do this for sure tomorrow, because he will prove you wrong. Say, if the Lord wills. May the Lord do this. Not say, I am sure the Lord will do this. The Lord will surprise you. There is no sure in our flesh. There is only surety in spirit. That is confidence in him. May the Lord. If the Lord wills. Beautiful words, right? May the Lord. If the Lord wills. We shield ourselves with these few simple words. But has to be said in full submission. Now, the word, what happened to here, we are going to reflect today from chapter 3. Now go to Daniel chapter 3. As I said before, the book of Daniel is not compiled by the physical timeline. It is compiled in spiritual timeline for the bride of Christ. Daniel was young and tender for a reason. Now, chapter 3, I want us to read from verse 6. So what's happening here is, Nebuchadnezzar feels lifted up. They are making him a golden image. Verse 6. Whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Here come another story. But this time Daniel is not the hero. The Lord hired 3 more heroes. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego to act in this beautiful plan. Because Daniel had his time in lion's den later. But I want all of us to think as I speak, where is Daniel now? As I speak. Because Daniel is not mentioned in this chapter. Now, similar to Darius issued a royal statute, a firm decree 30 days, nobody should worship any other god. Daniel disobeyed, which means Daniel obeyed God. That is disobedience to them. Forget about it. Because he obeyed God, they throw him into the lion's den. We thank God we have learned the bread and wine from there. Now here, Nebuchadnezzar make a golden image, and people around him, Chaldeans, they provoke him, "My king, give a command. If nobody worships that image, we will kill every one of them." Now I told you, Nebuchadnezzar did not receive the revelation of who is his creator, but he just saw the skills of Daniel, he just respected him. Like a, you know, well-talented magician. That's all. But Nebuchadnezzar thought Daniel is also worshipping his God because he is in his kingdom. Everyone bows to Nebuchadnezzar. Now in that mindset, Nebuchadnezzar says, verse 7, "Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery and all kind of music, we are going to meditate on this deeply, but not today. But remember the sequence of these musical instruments. It is written again and again and again for a reason, and the Lord will reveal to us." Too much charismatic musical instruments that Nebuchadnezzar had, which types who was the worshipper before, in the days before, aeons of time, and they had sets of musical instruments in sequence. And he says, "The nations, the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." Which means, before they worshipped, there was a sequence of a beautiful song with different varieties of music in a properly planned agenda to elevate the senses of people, and they all saw their golden image, they worshipped him to bring them to their emotional excitement. A musical idol worship. And Nebuchadnezzar was allowing that because that is who they are, Babylonians. But look at the next verse. "Wherefore at that time," verse 8, "certain Chaldeans," not all the Chaldeans, because many Chaldeans, they were still grateful to Daniel. He saved their life by interpreting what the Lord revealed to him. Chapter 2, don't forget the previous chapter. Not all the Chaldeans, some Chaldeans, they teamed up. They went and accuse the Jews, not Daniel, because they cannot accuse Daniel. Why? Daniel was next to the king, chief of the master of the magicians, astrologers. He was powerful. So they wanted to find another reason. They said they simply accused Jews in general, telling the Babylonian king, "Lord, these rebellious Jews, what can we say?" That's exactly what the princess did to Daniel in the times of Darius. Last Sunday, we saw the word. They told the king about Daniel. I call them as CCTV cameras. Easy for us to remember. They go and catch up everything and go and report to the king. Why? Their only goal is to kill the person. Kill this person. The testimony of God should not spread. When they said this, I want you all to reflect from the seat of Nebuchadnezzar how he will think. Because Nebuchadnezzar is mighty. The whole earth was subdued before him. Of course, he was more powerful. The Bible says there was no one like him in his time. Look at the next verse. Next verse says, "They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever." Nebuchadnezzar will die because he can't live forever. There is only one who can look into our eyes and tell all of us, "You shall live forever." The one who is the same yesterday, today and forever. He can say that. No one can say that. Verse 10 says, "Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man shall hear the sound of," you see the sequence, cornet, number 1, flute, number 2, harp, number 3, sackbut, number 4, psaltery, number 5, and dulcimer, number 6, and all kinds of music, number 7. Did the sequence change from the previous verse? Nay. It's the same sequence. Then, worship the golden image. Now, verse 12, they say, there are certain Jews, the certain Chaldeans targeting certain Jews. Because Daniel was also a Jew. At any point of time, they have to make sure they don't provoke the king. They don't offend the king by saying anything wrong about Daniel. Because Nebuchadnezzar held Daniel high in regard. The moment the Chaldeans make a single mistake, Nebuchadnezzar can be offended and simply say, "Okay, throw them all in the fire." Because he can say that. So they were so cunning, like a serpent in the garden, goes to Eve when Adam was not present. So when all these things happen, Daniel should not have been present physically. But somewhere he is there, the Lord would have reminded him to pray for his brethren, because Daniel was sent to oversee many kingdoms as the chief of magicians. Something happened during the time Daniel's name is not mentioned. We'll go there step by step. But now remember, now these three friends of Daniel, who are they? Not Shadrach, not Meshach, not Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, these three Jews. And they say, verse 12, they say, the certain Jews from thou has set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not the gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So they were caught when Daniel was not present. Very similar to Nehemiah leaves Jerusalem for a work, official work. Before he comes back, Shemaiah fell. Shemaiah was deceived. The high priest was deceived by Tobiah. Remember? I pray that you don't forget this. When the glory of the Lord leaves the temple, my heart of flesh will forget the flesh, the fresh flesh of God who made me in style like a beautiful flesh, and embrace the flesh of Tobiah. The glory of God should never depart the tabernacle. Amen. Now, here, these three are facing a trial. Now, I want us to focus on why they reminded the king that you set them as some rulers. Chapter 1, verse 49. Daniel 2, verse 49. Look at this. Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That gives you the answer. Where was Daniel? He was at his post of duty. Wherever the king told him, this is the gate. No one can meet the king without going through Daniel. He was at the gate. So to Nebuchadnezzar, my wisdom is my shield, which is Daniel. Put him at the gate. Now, these three friends of Daniel promoted. Imagine Babylon is a company. Daniel referred them. They were hired. They were promoted. Now when Daniel is not there, people complain to the CEO, which is Nebuchadnezzar. Fire them. Literally fire them. Throw them into the fiery burning furnace. Now look at the reaction, which will be the focus of today's sermon. Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. The moment Nebuchadnezzar was angry, hear me this, he fell already. Because the wrath of men worketh not to the righteousness of God. Whoever is the man? Nebuchadnezzar was angry. He forgot Daniel. He forgot everything. He said, you can't worship me. Come. Come before me. Now these three come. Verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach? Because he still respects them. He wants to double check again. Confirm again. Is it true, Shadrach? I'm giving you one last chance. Escape. Is it true, O Shadrach? That means, you know, there's a burden in Nebuchadnezzar. O Shadrach. O Meshach, O Nebuchadnezzar, Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Did I misunderstand you? I thought you are named after my gods. You are Shadrach, Aku. You are Abednego. You are Meshach, representing my gods. So don't you worship them? And they respond with boldness and courage in brave as apostles. They speak. Verse 15, Nebuchadnezzar says, if you be ready, if you are ready, at what time you will hear the sound? Again, you see, the moment you hear the sound of cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music in the same sequence. That is my pattern. I want you to see that you kneel down and worship my image. If you worship not, you shall be cast in the very same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God shall deliver you out of my hands? Nebuchadnezzar, you invited your own problem. Because he challenged the God of Daniel. God of, not Shadrach, Azariah, Hananiah, Mishael. He challenged the God. Now, I want to pass here. Now we have got the important elements. Fiery furnace that is burning. Three vessels going to be thrown. One angry king and Chaldeans who were the accusers. Isn't it? Now let's turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 66 verse 8 to 12. Psalm 66 verse 8 to 12. Verse 8. Oh, bless our God and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us as silver is tried. There is a trying before proving. Amen. Now these three vessels of God are going to be tried before he prove himself. But then verse 11 says, thou broughtest us into the net, like a fiery burning furnace. Some sort of a den, lion's den, a net. Thou layest affliction upon our loins. You place some burden upon us. Allow some trials to go through our life. Verse 12. Thou hast caused men to ride over heads. You caused the people to ride over our heads. Those certain Chaldeans, they accused Daniel, the people of God, they throw them into the lion's den, and now it is the burning furnace, Medians and Chaldeans. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out in a wealthy place. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is a wealthy place? To be rooted in the richness of God, that is the word of God, which no one can buy. To be a vessel of the anointing of God that no one can buy. Simon Sorcerer was paying the apostles to buy the Holy Ghost. What a shame. It happens today. You can buy admiration by giving money or by giving influences. People will exalt you for no reason. You won't even know. Is it true? Maybe I'm super anointed. Maybe, because everyone says it. Silver is tried. Why? Because there are so many elements look like silver. Not all are silver. He has to burn them in his spirit to see who they are. The secret of men will manifest in the fire of God. Amen? Now continue so that we receive some inspiration about this verse. Verse 13. Chapter 66 verse 13. Chapter 66 verse 13. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. Thou art the burnt offerings. And he burns you with his spirit in the warmth of his comfort. And says, I will pay thee my vows. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a verse. The only oath, the only vow that we have spoken belongs to God, belongs to the Creator who is your husbandman. And says, I will go to your house to pay my vow. Your house, my vow. Amen? My. And the Lord says, I will give you my spirit, but I will give you the heart of flesh. Look at the next verse. Which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want all of us to take an inspiration of your baptism. The moment you are baptized, the one who baptized you asked the question, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that you want to repent and confess? And we say, yes. I pay my vow. I will do everything. That's what people told to Joshua before he died. He asked them, are you sure? He said, yeah, we will serve the Lord. We will die for the Lord. So we go into the water, that is a type of our sins. We die to the flesh, we come back to spirit, a newborn child. And the Lord says, you have vowed, you have made an oath to me that you confess, that you repent, that I am your Lord. Now keep this in your mind. Now, David is asking, are you living a life that is reflecting what you said to him when you were baptized? Are we? Do we all have the same first love that we had when we received him? Or we feel bored now? Because people want the seven types of music instruments to feel excited. Hey, one of the equipment is missing. I don't feel anointing. That equipment can be anything, not just a physical one. My spiritual nakedness, my own desires. You look at the next verse. He says, I will offer unto thee burnt offer sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Selah. Come and hear all ye that fear God. Because only those fear God, they can hear what the Spirit has spoken. Only those who fear God. Those who don't fear him, they cannot hear what the Spirit has spoken. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy away from me. The life of Daniel. And those who are with Daniel. And the Lord said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Where I speak to them, they speak to me. It's a conversation of father and children. That needs heart of flesh, not the heart of stone. I have to reveal the sermon title. Who can reveal it? Has to be the one who was called the wisest king on earth. Let's go to Solomon to understand what is standing between this stone and flesh. What is the sign? How I can discern? Kings. Let's go to the book of Kings. 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 29 and 30. Chapter 4 verse 29-30. Before we read this, a recap. Solomon was anointed to be the king. And he told the Lord, I'm a child, I don't know anything. He asked the Lord for his guidance. He asked God, I don't want any riches, I don't want any power, I don't want anything that is worldly. Grant me the discernment to judge thy great congregation. And God looks at Solomon, he was very glad. He said, I am pleased in what you asked. I will give you more on top of what you asked. And the Lord says, I will make you as a man of understanding and wisdom. And you receive what you got, what you asked for. That is previous chapter. Now Solomon is in the work of God. And the Lord is preparing him to complete the construction of the temple. Which the father could not. Because the hands of David was full of blood. Of righteous Uriah. And the Lord says, you won't finish it. But I won't divide the kingdom in your life or your son's life. I will divide later. Because David is a man after heart of God. Heart of God. Amen. But God is spirit. He has no heart. Now, here it says, verse 29, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much. And the largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. The title of today's sermon, by the grace of God. Largeness of heart. But why the Lord compared it to this example, like the sand in the seashore? Why? Remember what God promised Abraham? Your seeds can't be counted like the sands of the seashore, like the stars in the sky. Can't be counted. Now, why God compared his wisdom and understanding to Solomon, saying that sand in the seashore, but he did not say that before he uttered the word largeness of heart. What is largeness of heart? How large my heart should be? Can a stony heart expand? It can't. It is stone, stiff, hardened heart of Pharaoh. But a flesh, heart of flesh can expand. I cannot draw everything. I want to be mindful of time, but I want you all to picture this. My lungs expand when the air goes in. When I exhale, it shrinks again, waiting for the next inhale. My lung expands, enlarge, and shrink by air. Amen? But my heart, it enlarges and shrink by blood. Am I right? Lung enlarged by air, heart enlarged by blood. Air, blood. I inhale the air, and that air is digested, mixed with my blood all over the body. And the blood takes the oxygen to all my parts to stay alive. Then I exhale the air and wait for the next inhale. The same time my heart is functioning in a way that the blood is pumping throughout my body, expanding, shrinking, expanding, shrinking, enlarged and shrinking. My heart cannot take air. It will die. My lungs cannot take blood. It will die. Am I right? Can I misplace? You can try if you want to go to the tomb. You can't. Lung meant to function by air. Heart meant to function by blood. Now look at this. God, his spirit, and God was manifest in flesh. And the flesh received the spirit. The entire body of Christ received the life of Christ. Oxygen goes through my body. But my heart, justified in spirit by that air that I received, makes me alive. God was manifest in flesh, justified in spirit. You look at your body, you can see Godhead, if you know how to look. My right eye sees what the Lord in the Old Testament. My left eye sees what the Lord is doing in the New Testament. But when I stand straight, I see one vision. Who is my husbandman? Who is my maker? Who is my creator? Both the eyes give me one vision. Both the ears give me one voice. But the Lord gave me one mouth. Imagine I speak one sermon here, right mouth, left mouth, this sermon, to make you all happy. You'd be hearing two voices. Unless you are so good in multitasking to discern two sermons. Oh, one sermon, happy sermon, angry sermon. Healing sermon, you know, and prophetical sermon. No, one mouth. One mind, one heart, one soul, one spirit, one body, no two body. Now, my heart that enlarged by blood, my lungs that enlarged by air. Spirit, flesh. Spirit, flesh. Because air I can't touch, I can't hold. I have no control. I don't even pay for it. It is there freely. But people are corrupting it, isn't it? Now, my heart and my lungs. I want this to be etched in our heart and mind. Now, let's continue from 1 Kings chapter 4 verse 30. Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. So there was an overcoming. So nobody could match him in wisdom. But he fell in the very same wisdom. That is why in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 18 he says, so much wisdom is grief. So much knowledge is sorrow. He understood. Now, largeness of heart. We have to receive what is this largeness of heart. Do I have the expansion, enlarging function in my heart to receive the blood of Christ to go inside, to purify me, to give him space in my heart? Or my cupboard, my shelf, my vault, my safe haven is full of something else. If the same water bottle, I pour 30% oil, I have some more water, I'm thirsty and drinking water, whichever that is on top will be drink, I'll drink first, then I'll have only less water left, right? Because the entire room of this heart was filled by something, some filthiness, and the Lord could not fill me up to the brim. because I'm not purified. I'm not, you know, purged. There is something inside. Something inside. How to take it out? You need this stick called plumb line. The Lord will stir it up. When you stir it up, you'll get angry, frustrated, offended. Everything will come into your face because the Lord is stirring up. Is it wrong? Or is it? 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's see if it is wrong. 1 Peter chapter 3. What is largeness of heart? 1 Peter chapter, we read 1 first, then we go to the 3. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want us to read verse 13 first. Verse 13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance. So that is a way of fashioning yourself. Like how Jezebel despised herself of the lust of the past. Verse 15, but he which hath called you is holy, so ye be holy in all manner of conversation, because what I speak is who I am. As a man thinketh in his heart, the words come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right? Because the heart enlarge and shrink. Or sometimes it stays as it is, becomes a stony heart. And that needs a heart transplant surgery by the mighty hand of God, not by you, not by anyone. There is only one healer. What we should do, Lord? I yield. The moment you said that, that stone will fall from your heart. He will replace it. Because he has another name, Restorer of Parts, the flow of blood of Christ. Repair of the breach. Whatever is stopping you to move forward, he can repair it. You see the verse 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. If ye call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Hey brother, we should not fear. Of course, I agree. You fear nothing. You fear no one. But you fear him. You never fail to fear him. Don't you do it. Never ever replace your fear of God in the name of love of God. Those are two different things. There is no love of God without the fear of God. There is no fear of God without the love of God. It is two sides of him. Reverence and honor. And the Lord says, whatever the sojourning time that I have given you, pass it in fear. Because when I do that, you will be filled with knowledge and understanding and wisdom. That's all. That is the meaning of it. And he says in verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, but as silver and gold. Hallelujah. I stop here. Nebuchadnezzar brought the vessels of silver and gold from Jerusalem to Shinar, his Babylonian god house. Belshazzar, after the death of Nebuchadnezzar, he went and took the same silver and gold vessels to bring Babylonian wine. And the Lord said, I strike thee now. He died on the same day. He that drinketh and eateth without proper preparation in the body of Christ will receive damnation, no matter whoever you are. Think of Darius, doesn't hold any value. The Lord struck him on the same day. He was killed by another Belshazzar, killed by Darius. Whoever is it? The vessel was despised. Silver and gold. Who is the silver and gold? The moment Nebuchadnezzar threw the three vessels of God into the fiery furnace that is burning with fire, he threw the silver and gold vessels of God, who are walking in flesh, in spirit, soul, body, he threw them into the fire to purify them. The adversity is working for God to test, to try the silver and gold of God. That is New City, Holy Jerusalem, you and me. The Lord allows adversity. Never ever underestimate adversity. You may curse something that was sent by God. There is some good lesson in everything the Lord allows. In everything, if you know how to yield. Without Nebuchadnezzar, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego cannot showcase the testimony that they are not Shadrach, not Meshach, not Abednego, but they are still Hananiah, still Azariah, still Mishael. They showed. Elohim is with us. There was a fourth man who was like a son of God, appeared next to them. But God is not in flesh. In the Old Testament, there is no flesh. There's an appearance. Where was Daniel? What Daniel was doing? Who was Daniel? That was Gabriel. Where was Daniel? Where was Gabriel? Now, let's remember silver and gold in your heart and continue now. It says, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, not from me. There is only one father in heaven. But if you want to be the old man, if you want to be the old woman, you will speak like your own father. That is the earthly blood, earthly inheritance, earthly spirit, familiarity. And the Lord says, if you want to speak like the Father in heaven, you have to be not in a vain conversation, but in divine conversation. Speak like Christ, understand like Christ, receive like Christ, hear like Christ, which is the Christ means the anointing of the Lord. We should see everything. The anointing has the power, and the power shall destroy the yoke. Not the yoke of God, the yoke of men. Destroy the bands and the chains. Because he has a name, breaker of chains, not as a physical person. The comforter is the breaker of chain that we all have right today. Now, and that chain is not, you know, go and fight some physical battle. Break the chain that is in your neck. You have your own chain. And the Bible says, daughter of Zion, loose thyself from the chain of your neck. Isn't it? Jeremiah said. Not me, Jeremiah said. Now, Apostle Paul said the same thing, because that daughter types the bread of Christ, even me. Now, he speaks this in chapter 2. 2 Peter, chapter... Now we go to chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3. I want all of us to see how beautiful the scripture you are holding in your hand. Do not use it as a license book or knowledge book, but use it as a mirror to see where is Christ in me. Verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. What a servant of God. He says, I will stir up, not by him, your pure minds. It's not pure, it is made pure by stirring up. And there is a way for it. And that way, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. We forget. We remember all the testimonies because it is easy to boast, right? The Lord saved me this. I pray the Lord answered this. We said all those things nonsense. But the Lord forgave you from your sins. We don't say about it. Why? It smells repentance. Don't like it. I want to be glorified. I pray the Lord answered. Praise the Lord. I was a sinner. The Lord healed me. Praise the Lord. I was a weak man. The Lord showed me mercy. Praise the Lord. I was insincere. The Lord yet showed mercy. Praise the Lord. I was so angry. The Lord calmed me. Praise the Lord. Way of remembrance will pure your mind who you are, to remind you who you are. And then that stirred up will yield its fruit. What is it? Perfection. The only way David could fulfill his calling, he remembered what he did and he remained as a child of God who received mercy. Now, stir up. What's the next verse? That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And of the commandment of the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Do you really understand that we were under a leadership of an apostle? Do you? How many ministries had the mercy? Talk about privilege, because we use the word privilege. What is privilege? Hey, privilege. Let's calm down. Mercy. That mercy. How many of us realize that I was under God's mercy?
led by an apostle of God who lived and died, did not become a brand, did not make money by selling his books. But what people say, we should uphold his legacy. If he is alive, he will rebuke left and right. I'm speaking with you from the altar. If he is alive, everyone who is his name, he will rebuke. Because Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, Apostle John, Daniel, Jeremiah, every servant of God, they had one goal. That is, one name must be glorified, and that name is a holy one. And the Bible says, do you remember what the apostles said? They have said so many things, but do we remember? Do we have this in our life? Then, the life of that servant is glorified for God. If we do what the Lord spoke to the servant. Isn't it? What he says, the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. The life of the servant will preach sermons more than the mouth of the servant. Remember this. I am a testimony of the Lord's mercy. I have learned more things from my pastor by observing his life more than listening from his sermon. I tell this on the altar. I was humbled. Why? It is a life that speaks Christ, not the lips. Isn't it? Isn't it? Why they are learning from Daniel? Because Daniel is not a talent that we should go and abuse him. He's a life of Christ, the Lord's creation. There must be something in the man's life that we should go and learn from his life. Not from the 3.5 years, Antichrist comes, or Ezekiel said, okay, whether you know it or not, it will come to pass. The Lord knows how to warn us to watch, to be watchful of season. We will do that. There is a time to begin the season. It is not now. These 3 years, what the Lord is doing to all of us, he took the one whom he anointed, isn't it? To teach all of us, do you look at the one who is the anointed, the ark, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Or do we still need so many trees around us to love him? Or do we still need so many golden images around us to believe in him? Or can we simply rely on the simplicity of the scripture in absolute nakedness? That's what I've been doing for the last 3 years. I can come here in 15 minutes. I can impress every one of you in my flesh. Easy. Show some doctrines. Make you believe that, you know, we are following the same track. Easy. If I do that, the Lord will let us grow. But he won't be there. Do you hear me? Whom do you want? Whom do you want? 2 feet of people are the two testaments fulfilled in the midst of the God's people. The Lord himself, the feet of my Christ, to stand in the midst of his congregation. First goal, there is a season for everything. There is a season for everything. Too much knowledge is sorrow. Too much wisdom is grief. The Lord has spoken it. We have to focus on this translation of everything work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Which means, whatever you learn so far must come to the good fruition. Which is perfection and fruition for us to be redemption, to be redeemed. That is the focus of the 3 years. Submit to God's will in absolute nakedness. No name of a man, no dependency on any other book, none. Why? He is who he is here. The time will come for all of us to reflect, to study. The time will come. But this is not the time. The enemy is waiting to see a single golden calf to burn the entire house. One golden calf. What we should do? Golden image of Nebuchadnezzar, we can't worship. Golden image of people of Israel, we can't worship. Then what we should worship? The house of God is a fiery burning furnace, my brethren. The Lord is burning all of us, testing us. How do we behave? Do you know when the three vessels, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, were thrown into the furnace, they were thrown as Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, because their name were not, they were called Jews, not Babylonians. Correct? Do you think that they were screaming, crying, complaining? No. They were at absolute peace. The Bible says they're walking. Someone is walking with them. How come they are walking? How come they are walking? And Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He told them, bring them out. Then he checked their body if there is any wound. Darius did the same thing, right? Daniel, come out. Come here. He checked all the body, no wound. And Nebuchadnezzar says, come out, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. No wound. Wow. That is not the faith of God. Why? He saw and believed. The next chapter, he fell as a beast. Am I right? That is not the faith of God. If we are all desiring to see fairy tale, charismatic influence, to believe in God, forget about it. We can just walk outside as a beast. He that believeth on him without seeing the physical flesh, but hoping for the eternal glory of the glorious body, celestial one, they believed on him. Daniel believed in God. Whether the lions roar him, devour him or kill him, Daniel believed. That is, God is righteous judge in my life. That is why his name has a meaning. God is my judge. He did not say, God, judge the lion. Oh God, judge Darius. He didn't say anything because he loved Darius. He obeyed him. He said, God is judge in my life. Whatever happens around me, there is one master, chief captain of my ship. My God. That dependency cannot be replaced with any other ministry, any other minister, any other name, which will be seen as abomination, detestable things to the Lord Almighty. Now, if we do this, there will be a name for it. So simple. No music like dulcimer, all this, no seven equipment that Nebuchadnezzar said. Those are all charismatic influences. Within 2 hours, we have to make people engaged. So do something. Are you sleeping? Then I'll make a sound. Wake up. Okay. Can I preach now? Are you sad? I will preach a happy sermon for you. Oh, you are happy? I'll preach a sad sermon for you. If we do that, then we can change the name as Prophetic Revelation Restaurant. People can come and order the food. Spicy, medium spicy, sweet, super sweet. Not restaurant. Tabernacle. Tabernacle has one food, one drink, with the Lord himself. Now, let's continue. What he says in verse 4. Verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days of scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, and all things continue as they were from the beginning of thy creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, that heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water in the water. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a powerful verse spoken in the book of Peter. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 17. As we continue, how to enlarge the heart. Because enlarging heart is widening the territory of receiving blood, receiving revelation, receiving the senses of spirit. Chapter 17, verse 3 and 4. Every time I read the word silver and gold, I want you all to remember Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel. This is Belteshazzar. They are silver and gold of God. They were thrown into the fiery furnace, right? Now read verse 3. The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold. But the Lord trieth the hearts. In order for Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego to walk into the fire, they must have an enlarged heart to receive the Lord's peace when it is well. Something is going to happen, but my heart is enlarged. If they are stony, they can't enter. Because it's limited. Mind is limiting the thought process, right? Now, the Bible says silver and gold. It says, for silver is a fining pot. But for gold is a furnace. Correct? The Lord trieth the hearts. Now, let's continue. Verse 4. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. A liar give ear to naughty tongue. It talks about listening and speaking. It's a two-way communication, right? You hear. What the Bible says, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 16 to 22 says, Do not hear all the words, because all the words are not from God. Many are called, few are chosen. And the Lord says, hear my words. And for that your heart must be of rest. If the heart is not at rest, I cannot listen to my God's voice, who is God of peace. Am I right? That's why he says, still small voice. Not the earthquake, not the, you know, big show off. Still small voice. But for that, my heart must be large enough to accommodate him, about whom the whole earth is not sufficient. If we write books about him, he says, I will come to your heart, enlarge your heart. David says, open your mouth wide for the Lord to fill you in, because the mouth is a gate of my heart. Whatever is here, I will spit out in the presence of God. And what David, Solomon says in Psalm and Proverbs, continue in chapter 27. 27 verse 21 says, Proverbs 27:21 says, as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is the man to his praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted to be praised. He wanted to be exalted. He built a golden image because of the Chaldeans who deceived him, who hyped, exaggerated him. Oh, king, live forever. In that hype, he fell. My brethren, my brothers and sisters of Christ, and the bride of Christ, if you see people who exaggerate you, do not trust them. Whoever it is, your father, mother, son, daughter, wife, husband, whoever it is, exaggeration is not from Holy Ghost. The Lord do not know how to exaggerate. Because he has a name. I am who I am. He will speak things as it is. He speaks about Moses. My servant is humble. There is no one like him on the earth. He didn't exaggerate. He just said the truth in plain and simple. But he said this once. He didn't say it 1,000 times. Exaggeration is truth times 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times truth. It's not truth. It's false. Truth is truth. There is no such thing called great truth. There is no such thing called powerful truth. It is truth. Plain, unleavened, no flavor, no spots. Exaggeration is a tool of enemy. Exaggerate. Oh, brother, what? Before you came to the altar, the heaven fell on me. Okay, God bless you. I just walk away. This exaggeration has happened everywhere, every corner of the world. Because the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar, the Tower of Babel, the golden calf, everything that are detestable to the Lord, now it is all invisible, subtle, exist in the ministry of the Lord. In the house of God, there is honor, reverence to him. No other thing. Exaggeration is Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was exaggerated. In that exaggeration, he threw the 3 vessels into the fire. But the most important revelation for all of us to understand is, if the Lord let them die as martyrs, Nebuchadnezzar will become murderer. If Nebuchadnezzar becomes murderer, then what happens to the 70 years of exile? The Lord did not show mercy on Nebuchadnezzar. He showed mercy on the 3 who believed on him. Amen? Because in the same chapter, Nebuchadnezzar becomes a beast. Because his pride comes back. The same king who is speaking so beautifully in this chapter, the very next chapter, the Lord says, you are full of pride. In 12 months, you will see who I am. 12 months, Daniel gave time to Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar did not heed to what Daniel said. And the Lord allowed him to become a beast, like a beast. Beast also has a flesh, right? But the human also has a flesh, right? Not the same flesh. Now, you read what continues here. Chapter 27, verse 21 says, fining pot for silver, there is no change. Furnace for gold, also no change. So is a man to his praise. Now, let's continue to Haggai chapter 2. Book of Haggai, chapter 2. Haggai the prophet, chapter 2. Verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. The silver is mine. Hallelujah. The gold is mine. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Saith the Lord. The Lord says, silver is mine. The gold is mine. Not the physical one. But the Lord says, my vessels. Wealth of honor, mercy, love. We were all vessels of dishonor in our life. Let us never forget that. Way of remembrance. Purify your minds. We were all. Someday. And we can be today. If the Lord takes hands off. If the Lord takes hands off from my life, I can be a vessel of dishonor. Just like that. Just like that. Amen? Just like that. Now, the Lord says, silver is mine, gold is mine. Verse 9. The glory of this later house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. In this place, I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord says, I am focusing on peace. What do you focus on? Sometimes our flesh wants to focus on earthquakes, mighty storms, to see if we validated. The Lord says, can we do peace? No, rejected. I want some Red Sea division. Can you do peace? Rejected. The Lord says, I'm doing everything that you receive peace. The strongest suit any man or woman can have in this world is to have the peace of God. If there is no largeness of heart, there is no peace of God. Because peace of God needs a vessel to come and dwell. He is a Shekinah of glory. Amen. Where it is written should be David, Psalm chapter 119. Psalm 19. Psalm 119. 119. Verse 29. Verse 28. I love this verse. Because gold will be melted in the fire, right? Verse 28. My soul melted for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove me from the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. Verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Verse 31. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. I am unable to escape, because Apostle Paul says, I am a bondservant of Christ, prisoner of Christ. David says, I am also the same. He says, put me not to shame. This shame, my dear brethren, is heavily misunderstood by seven churches, that the Lord would not put us into shame. So that is not the shame David is telling. If I do something against the heart of my God, against the will of my God, no matter how much respect, admiration that I receive, I am putting myself into shame. No matter how much healthy, wealthy, strong, victorious I become, I am putting myself to shame. Because the shame the Lord defines is to do anything that grieves His Holy Spirit. That is shame. Whatever that we do that pleases the Holy Spirit may be seen as shame to the outward appearances. But to Him, I have glorified my name in thee. The Lord glorifies His name when the flesh is put to shame, when the spirit is honored. Amen. Now David says, I want that. Verse 32. To do that, what he says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Hallelujah. This is what Solomon received. Because David asked for it. Enlarge my heart. Because you can make it small, shrink. And Solomon says, don't do it. If I do this, what will happen? If the Lord enlarge my heart. It's like the Lord tells David, Solomon, I am widening your territory so that more people will come to truth. More kingdoms will receive the name of the Lord. Widening, expanding, spiritually I'm speaking. David says, enlarge my heart. What he says, verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it to the end, the last breath of my life. Verse 34, give me understanding, I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. That is why David asked for enlarge my heart. which is anything I do without my whole heart, it is not acceptable. That is the heart of stone. The Lord says, do it with whole. The Lord himself speaks about this. Matthew 22, verse 37. Matthew 22, verse 37. Matthew 22, verse 37. Let's all rise. I don't know the English word. Rise. Rise above the storm. Rise from your seat. Chapter 22, verse 37. Gospel of Matthew. Let's read this. Why Jesus said this. Verse 37, he says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now, as we close the sermon today, I want us to remember this. Enlarging the heart, the largeness of heart, is for people of God to accommodate one another in each one's heart. Because Jesus says, I came to you as a poor, you received me. I came to you as a thief, you still did not despise me. Which means the Lord says, it is me who is coming to you because he is the Word. We are all the part of the Word. In grace, we are separated by those who know the Lord, those who do not know. But the eyes of God, he is beyond the time. For him, his children, and the wickedness that is not his. But for all of us, we can be the tear today. Someone can be the wheat today. Because the wheat and tares grow along. Amen? There is no assertiveness in our life that I am the wheat for sure. There is no sure. You can be a tear just like that. I can be a wheat just like that. It is all about the one who showeth mercy. Amen? May the Lord bless us that we receive the freshness, newness, lightness, kindness, gentleness of the heart of Christ. That we understand that the ones who are around us, they are Christ himself in your life. Amen? We are our inheritance. We are God's riches that the Lord has given us. People who love you in Christ. Let's all submit the sermon to the Lord. Let's all pray. Our Lord, our God, we thank you, Lord, for this day of blessing, this day of healing, this day of restoration, this day of touching, because our heart belongs to thee. You are the king of my heart. You are the Lord of my heart. You are the master of my life. You are the owner of this house. You are the redeemer of this congregation. You are the Joshua who fight all the battle for us. And Lord, we pray, help us that we are all tried like silver and gold in the fining pot and the furnace by thy spirit, that is the fire, like the burning bush in the midst of the fire. Help us, Lord, that we are purified, perfected, that we are conforming to the image of God, that we receive the purification of mind, the freshness in our life, the blessedness to believe that you are able to do great things, and we receive the contentment, peace in the discernment of God who is righteous. We thank you, Lord, for today. We bless your holy name. I pray that you continue to anoint us, be with us, lead us, and may the peace of God be in the house of God. For those who sow the seed in tears and they reap the harvest in joy, because it is you who cried for all of us in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Lord, today you are reaping the harvest of redemption, and you are reaping all of us in the joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.